The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But the young man said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. A number of years ago in Jerusalem, on the way to work, I stopped by the Holy Sepulchre Church, which sat and still sits, just around the corner from the Lutheran church where I was serving. It was Holy Week, and I wanted just a few quiet moments to sit by Jesus' tomb before working on the next stack of worship bulletins. Yes, even in Jerusalem, the church staff labors and agonizes over Holy Week worship bulletins. It's true. It's the same everywhere. However, because it was Holy Week, I could barely get into the church. There were so many people, pilgrims from all around the world, lined up to get inside the front door of the church and then lined up to get into the edicule, the little boxy building which sits over the tomb itself. Frustrated, I slipped past the line and I sat just inside the door next to my friend Wajir Nusaybe on his wooden bench. Now, Mr. Nusaybe is a Muslim, and his family have been caretakers of the church which houses Jesus' tomb for more than 850 years. Because Christians, being how we can be sometimes, couldn't agree on which particular brand of Christian should be in charge of the holiest of holy sites in our faith. And so it was that two Muslim families received the key and the responsibility of holding those keys and guarding the door of the tomb of Jesus Christ, which they have been doing for 850 years. I sat there next to my friend, and together we watched the people streaming into the church. We noted tour groups from Nigeria, Russia, China, and the U.S., among others. Mr. Naseba also noted that I had gotten a haircut recently and suggested that maybe I go to his son's salon next time because my hair seemed to him to be a bit too short. After a while, he looked at his watch and said, "It's time for my prayers." And then he turned to me and said, "I'm going to pray. I'll be back in 15 minutes. You watch the door." First of all, what an honor to be asked to watch the door of our most special church building. But also, watch the door? What am I watching for exactly? What am I watching to happen at the door of the tomb of Jesus? As I sat there watching, what I noticed was how eager people were to get in there, to get inside the tomb, to get into the one place that Jesus was pretty quick to get out of. Amen? Amen? Interesting, don't you think, that we are so drawn to be in the place where Jesus was laid to rest, and often not so much to be in the places where he's been ever since he left the building. For example, alongside the suffering, the hungry, the thirsty, the oppressed, the occupied, the grieving, the very young, the very old, the imprisoned, the mentally ill, the outcast, the overworked, the unemployed, the trans and queer, the forgotten, among many others. Jesus spent just 3 short days in the tomb, but now has for a very long time afterward been exactly in the middle of our broken world and our messy lives. Thanks be to God for that. Amen?
Amen.
There is a reason that Arabic-speaking Christians don't call it the Sepulchre Church or the Tomb Church, but rather Kanisat HaKiyame, the Church of the Resurrection. Because, of course, the tomb is empty. Jesus has left the building. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Now, on that first resurrection day in Jerusalem, when the women went to anoint Jesus' body, they also were thinking about how to get into the tomb. There certainly were not going to be lines to contend with, but they knew the door would be covered by a very large stone, enough to keep out animals, enough to keep out grave robbers, large enough perhaps to keep out those who wanted to further humiliate Jesus and his followers. "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" they wondered as they walked. And this was a legitimate worry. As it was written, it was a very large stone. Would they have the strength to move it? Just the 3 of them? Would there be anyone who would help them so early in the morning? They only wanted to anoint Jesus' body, which they couldn't do earlier because Jesus had died on the Sabbath. One can imagine that early morning walk and the women discussing who would push, who would pull, and perhaps who would go and find a friendly gardener who would help them to open the door to the tomb. But today we have heard the good news that when Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome arrived to the tomb, the stone had already been rolled back. The stone had already been rolled back. The door was open, and there was someone else there. Someone watching the door. It was a young man dressed in white. And when the women entered that open door, that man said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, right? Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He is not here. He is not here. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia." What a confusing moment that must have been. How many scenarios do you think went through the women's mind at that moment? Did someone steal the body? If so, who was it? And very importantly, who is this angel dressed in white? They were amazed and they were afraid. Jesus was not there, and he said that he would be raised, but still, this was not yet good news. They were afraid because it wasn't what they expected. This is not what they expected to find. They expected to find Jesus where they left him, where he was laid to rest. Last evening, after our beautiful late-night Easter vigil service, I was a bit panicked as I set out to go home because I couldn't find my keys again. You should get an AirTag for them, it was suggested by my intern and others. And I think that's probably a good idea. The keys were in the intern's office, by the way. But then I thought, the women on that first resurrection morning might have wished for an AirTag for Jesus. The angel told the women that Jesus had gone on ahead of them to Galilee and there they would see him. Okay, but where? Where? Where will we see him? Where is he now? Can you imagine what that conversation was like, the walk from the empty tomb toward Galilee? The walk away from the moment when their world got turned upside down? No longer were they talking about how to move a stone. Now I can imagine the women saying, what just happened? And where is Jesus? Where will we find him? A few nights ago, we gathered as a community and we sang, "Stay with me, remain here with me, watch and pray, watch and pray." And now this morning, after the supper, after the cross, after the resurrection, we are again being invited to watch and pray, to be on the lookout, to notice where Jesus is now. We are invited, dear ones, all of you, to watch the doors. To watch the doors. Watch the door of the shelter. Watch the door of the hospital. Watch the door of the nursing home. Watch the door of the immigration center. Watch the door of the women's health clinic. Watch the door of your homebound neighbor. Watch the door of the halls of power, of governmental and religious authorities. Watch and pray. Watch and rejoice and know that the stone has already been rolled back. Those doors are open, the tomb is empty, and the risen Christ has gone ahead of us. And we will see him there, at the doors. We will see him there, and we are invited to walk with him through those doors and into every place that still needs to know that death, sin, fear, exclusion, and hatred have no power over us or over this world. For death has been crushed underfoot through the cross and the empty tomb. Dear ones, on this day, remember that your sins, your shortcomings, your worries, your fears, all of it has been left behind in that tomb. And you are now, through baptism, raised with Christ. So, world, watch out. Watch out, because on this day, Christians everywhere will be at the open doors of churches, saved, fed, nourished, and all prayed up, ready and watchful for where the risen Christ is inviting us to follow next. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I invite you to stand as we sing together out of your red hymnal, number 377, Alleluia, Jesus is risen.